8:20. I used to be very big on talking about random acts of kindness. I think I'm going to have to bring that back because after reading Mitch over the weekend, as I always do, there's a new take on the random acts of kindness, and it's the random acts of violence that we're all very, very unfortunately familiar with, the latest being the attack on Salman Rushdie. He is going to be okay, but he will never get over this attack, nor will lots of people who find themselves in front of crowds at places where they're just frankly vulnerable. And that probably means all of us, whether it's a well-known person or somebody that we've never heard of until something terrible has happened to them randomly. Mitch Albom, our WJR Afternoon Talk Show, Detroit Free Press columnist, award-winning author and playwright, the list goes on and on, is on the other end of our line right now. And another great column, Mitch.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's one that I hoped I didn't want to write. And as I'm listening to you talk, I realize that both you and I certainly fit in that category, too. You know, we say things that could anger people. We have opinions, and they're public. And I remember, just ironically, in Chautauqua, which is a summer festival that they do every year up there in upstate New York where they have authors. I appeared there on that same stage where Salman Rushdie was 24 years ago.
Wow.
Which was exactly the year that the guy who's accused of attacking him was born. And I never thought while I was on that stage, gee, I got to wonder or worry if someone's going to run out of the audience. But I think I do now, and so does everybody else.
Numerous violent outbursts with people randomly, hence your random acts of violence, that you can't really prepare for in just carrying on your everyday living. And you don't want to lock yourself up in a house.
No. Well, that's no way to live, but the attacks... First of all, I don't believe that, and I said this in the column, that that was a random act on Salman Rushdie.
No.
He's had I really don't believe that the other ones are random either, in that I think they random suggests like someone just gets up and says, oh, I think I'll do this. I think these are all reflections of an anger, a boiling point anger that has risen in the last couple of years over issues like race, politics, immigration, abortion. And now, you know, what used to be like, I'm just going to get angry or maybe call a talk show or something, it seems to bubble over into, I'm just going to attack somebody. So you have these in New York, in Chicago, in Portland, you have these various people who are just walking down the street and someone comes up from behind and clocks them in the head or stabs them or pushes them onto a subway track or stomps on them when they're older and beats them up and leaves them bloodied in the street. And we're seeing this all over. And I don't, you know, it's random in that you can't see it coming, but it's not random in its motivation. I think it reflects a country that is beat red with rage. And I don't know how we stop that.
Well, and we've seen it very specifically. These were not random. For example, the attacks on Asian Americans, the attacks on the elderly, the attack in Chicago, one man, they used the word randomly, but one man attacked four women in a matter of minutes. These things are happening, lots of them, where the victims did not know their attackers, and they appear to be random acts of violence, but you're saying it's much more than that. You're pointing out that something we've all known, and we've talked about the anger that society has now. We see it first on the roadways with road rage, that unlike any road rage we've ever seen before. But we see it in restaurants. We see it on airplanes. And that is, as you point out, we are bitter. We are resentful. We divide the world into us and them. We feel the others in this country are gaining unfair advantage or acting against our interests or are undermining our beliefs. This is a problem.
Right. Yeah, but the big problem is that we think it's okay to express that anger in violence. And I think it comes from a temper. I think it comes from a climate where certain violence has been excused or allowed by various prosecutors around the country, or people who just say, well, it's justified because, after all, people have a reason to be angry. Well, of course, people can have a reason to be angry, but I don't think a reason to be angry is ever a reason to allow someone to attack one another, and especially not to be able to get away with it or to have some kind of light sentence or things like that. And I think when you create an environment where certain people are viewed as it's justified to have violence, then other people feel, well, then mine's justified to have violence, and where does it stop? So I think, you know, I'm of the belief you just have to respect other people, and no matter what your opinion is or what your beliefs are, you have to respect their space. You know, Salman Rushdie was attacked because somebody, you know, 33 years ago, who was in charge of a country, decided to issue a fatwa on him and tell people, you know what, go kill him, because what he wrote was blasphemous. Well, you know, many books over the history of time have been considered blasphemous, or have been considered, I don't agree with it, or it goes against what I believe. That doesn't mean you tell people, why don't you just go out and kill the author? And you know, if you're going to kill the author, why not kill the playwright? Why not kill the movie maker? Why not kill the politician? Why not kill the, you know, radio host? So we shouldn't live in fear of being able to express ourselves, or artistically express ourselves, write, speak, you know, perform, and figure that, well, if somebody doesn't like it, you know, you might just get attacked or stabbed in the neck. And Salman Rushdie, you said earlier he's going to be okay in that, and you're correct in that he will live, supposedly, that's what they're saying, but he's going to apparently lose an eye, his liver is damaged, his nerves in his arm are severed, and worse, he's going to remember this forever, you know, right. And he's been right. living with this kind of thing for 30 plus years. I don't know how he did it. I mean, he's been living in fear of this very thing happening.
And he was in hiding for much of that time, and now he's out. But I didn't know, Mitch Albom, until you mentioned it in your fine Free Press column, that the Japanese translator for the Satanic Verses was murdered by stabbing, and the book's Norwegian publisher was shot and seriously wounded. So the violence and mayhem continued, even if they couldn't reach Salman Rushdie, which apparently they now have, and caught up with him on that. There was a big multi-million-dollar bounty on him. But you point out some good things, and we need to take those quote-unquote random acts of violence and get back to our random acts of kindness. Mitch will be listening this afternoon from 5 to 7. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Always good to talk to you, Paul. Thank you.
Mitch Albom, WJR Afternoon talk show host, Detroit Free Press columnist, award-winning author and playwright, and all of that and more as we continue on WJR.